Thanks for hanging out with us, tuning in with us, having fun with us. Jackpot Jerry.
Murphy's Law. With me again, my good buddy, Chris Kuhn.
It used to be much easier when we were just talking about barbecue.
Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers.
And then you get into the economics of it and what the kids went through and how many excess deaths we had and then everything else on top of it and the folks who are dying suddenly and unexpectedly right now. Holy cow. Yeah, and you talk about a story. Speaking of those lockdowns and a story. In fact, there's some good news to some of the horror stories. You've heard them all that have come throughout the last couple of years. A few states really had it bad. Not many nearly as bad as we did here in Michigan. I'm broadcasting in Grand Rapids in West Michigan. WOOD, that's a news radio with 1300 and 106.9 FM. And of course, my honor and pleasure to be here with you. But one of the stories coming out of Michigan was the restaurants that were shut down and the businesses that were crippled and people lost them. Of course, you've got what happened to the kids. But one of the business owners decided to stand his ground. He would not back down. His name's Ian Murphy. He owns the Iron Pig in Gaylord. In Michigan. Ian joins us right now, talk a little bit about what he went through, but there's some good news that he's going to share today, too. He just won a big fight, and I think it's important for us to hear this, not just here in Michigan, but across the country when it comes to standing up for what's important and, of course, your principles. Ian, appreciate you joining us on the Glenn Beck program.
Good morning, Justin. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's walk through this. You know, there was a time when Gretchen Whitmer, the governor here, the Wolverine Queen, as they call her, she was making these edicts about places like restaurants, particular that were really under fire. In fact, you could eat inside, but only if the inside was outside. There was a time they had these igloos set up and these little outdoor huts, and like it was just insanity. And people that were able to think critically at the time were saying that. What are you doing to our restaurants? Some of these places just went through hell and back and barely made it, but you decided you were going to stand up through it all. What did that look like for you?
It's been a crazy, crazy journey for the last just over 2 years now.
Yeah.
You know, when they shut down restaurants again end of November, just before Thanksgiving in 2020, we stayed closed for the first week, waiting, you know, for some kind of news, some kind of aid package, something. And you know, all the lawmakers and governor and everybody decided to go on Thanksgiving vacation and yeah. Just, you know, basically left us out to flap in the wind. So I just kind of, you know, we had originally, a buddy of mine and I, we were actually in the middle of putting up wrapping paper on the front windows, and we were going to kind of go under the radar. And I just decided, you know, this just doesn't feel right. So I called the health department, our local health officer, and said, you know, tomorrow, the day before Thanksgiving, which is, you know, one of the biggest bar nights of the year, I said, listen, you know, we're going to go out of business if this keeps up like this. So you're kind of forcing us to open back up. And that's what we did. And the next morning at about 11:15, the health department was there with a cease and desist. They wasted no time. And then the liquor commission followed that. And then the Department of Agriculture followed that. OSHA followed that as well.
I mean, they were bringing the full force of government down on you and every vice and grip they could find to tighten on you. They were trying to get you from all angles, weren't they?
Yeah, and they knew from the beginning that those of us that have liquor licenses, you know, those are coveted. So they knew that they could use that as the hammer over those of us with those licenses. And they were very, very effective at doing that. And ultimately, they kind of used us as an example and suspended my liquor license for 90 days and gave me a $600 fine. What we would find out later on is that January 6th of 2020, while we were still open against the health department orders, but not serving liquor, we had surrendered our liquor license. We had taken the fine. We were still under the suspension order. They came back in January 6th, 2021, and did an undercover sting. Now, this is the Liquor Commission. And cited us again with another violation, basically for just being open. They didn't cite us for serving alcohol without a license.
So it had nothing to do with liquor. It's just the fact that you were open. The governor said you shouldn't. By the way, I should also mention here, folks, that the Michigan State Supreme Court at one point, they ruled on this, and that what the governor had ordered at one point, these shutdowns and whatnot, that they were illegal. They were unconstitutional. She then moved to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services without her mantle. And by the way, this woman got reelected in a state. I have no idea how that happened. But Ian, this is...
And found that she had actually been using the emergency orders of the health department law that we ended up challenging in court and got ruled unconstitutional, just like the Supreme Court ruling you're referencing. And the majority of our case stems from that certified questions October 2020 Supreme Court case and got a brilliant ruling from Judge Hunter right here, literally across the street from the Iron Pig in circuit court. Mm-hmm. So we went through various things. You know, the health department, Dana Nessel's office, the attorney general, they appealed Judge Hunter's ruling. They went right up to the Supreme Court. They tried to bypass the Court of Appeals. So the Supreme Court has actually chimed in on this, and they said they view it as certified questions, the sequel. Now, a lot of things have happened in the last 60 days. One of the big ones was they gave up their appeal, which they were appealing Judge Hunter's ruling to the Court of Appeals. They gave up that appeal. So that's a big win. But just recently, I received a letter from the Liquor Commission via Dana Nessel's office, which has some sort of gambling and liquor division, apparently. And this nice little letter said, we are no longer going to be seeking charges against you for the January 6, 2021 alleged violation. No further action at this time. So they gave up their appeal on Judge Hunter's unconstitutional ruling. And then they gave up. So the other thing that they had holding over us was this other liquor license violation. So they just gave that up last week.
So this is a big win, it would sound like, under your belt in this battle to stand your ground, stand up for running your business and to be open to feed the folks there in Michigan. But not only that, but to feed your family. This is a big deal. But this isn't it. You've stood up. You've stood your ground here. Ian Murphy, the Iron Pig in Michigan, Smokehouse. You risk it for the brisket.
Yes, sir.
and it worked out. Apparently, you guys are fighting back, though. You're doing something else. There is a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, so, you know, the end goal really for us is to make sure that the unconstitutional ruling is ultimately upheld by the Supreme Court. So that's one thing. The other thing that we want to do is hold some people accountable. And you know as well as I do that money talks. And right now what we're attempting to do is form a class action lawsuit to take to the Court of Claims and sue Gretchen Whitmer, Dana Nessel, Bob Gordon and Elizabeth Hertel in their official capacities as it relates to the use of this now unconstitutional law in Michigan. And by the way, Justin, they're still using this health order, this emergency order right now for vaccine mandates in nursing homes. So we're going on almost 3 years now that they'll, you know, coming in March, it'll be 3 years that they're using this health order that is now unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But they're still doing it.
Ian Murphy and the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Michigan standing up, fighting back. So we're gonna have to wait to see how the class action plays out. I know you're not slowing down anytime soon. I don't get that feeling. I just want to ask you, because this is not a Michigan issue. This is an issue that folks all around the country are having to fight, to struggle, to battle with over the last couple of years. But I think even more so as we get into the years to come, we're at the cusp of a new year here. None of this is going away anytime soon. What do you say to folks who are deciding, probably at some point here in the future, if they haven't yet, they're going to have to make a, a decision about how they're going to stand for their principles, for their family, for their business, for whatever it might be. What would you say to folks? You know, what was it that moved you to do that? And any encouragement or advice?
I was raised a certain way to challenge authority, usually in a respectful way. But at the end of the day, it really was, like you said, it was for my family. It was for our family here, our employees at the Iron Pig. And it was a risk that we had to take. And at the end of the day, I would have rather had stood up for what I believed in, which was these things were wrong and there was certainly a better way to go about it. And I would say to everybody that is listening that might be in or see themselves in a situation like this moving forward, don't give up. Stand up for yourself. We did, and it paid off. Our customers have come in droves. 2021 was our best year on record. 22 was outstanding. 2023 looks to be even better, and we're hoping to expand. But what I do want to say real quick while I've got you is anybody in Michigan that is looking to join our lawsuit, our class action lawsuit, to go to fight4michigan.com. There is a form you can fill out to join. Anybody that is looking to join this class action should go to fight4michigan.com, and let's get as many restaurants at least as we can. Some gyms have already signed up as well, but we're going to start to sift through this information and figure out and form the best class that we can so we can go sue the pants off the people responsible for destroying the restaurant industry in this state. And still are. You know, there's an employee minimum wage law that's being enacted here pretty soon that's just going to destroy our industry.
Ian Murphy, the fight continues. TheIronPigSmokehouse.com. We appreciate you taking the time. If you're in the area there in Gaylord, Michigan, or you're coming through on vacation, stop in. Ian, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for continuing to fight.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate everything.
You got it. God bless. There you go, folks. Just one of the folks that's decided to stand up.
Welcome back to WMKT's Talk of the North on 102.3 and 103.3 FM, 1270 AM, Triple Talk WMKT. Thanks for tuning in, Northern Michigan. We have a fantastic segment lined up for you. After nearly 2 years of legal battles, we found out that 2 weeks ago, the health department voluntarily backed down from their lawsuit against the Iron Pig. Otsego County Circuit Court Judge Colin Hunter found the epidemic order issued against the Iron Pig during the pandemic was unconstitutional. Say it with me, unconstitutional. While the health department originally appealed the decision 2 weeks ago, the health department withdrew their appeal and backed off. The health department was not the only governmental body to go after the Iron Pig and owner Ian Murphy. The liquor department, liquor commission rather, also viciously attacked Ian and revoked his liquor license in retaliation for staying open during the pandemic. They actually sent men to remove the license from the property. We just found out a day and a half ago that the Liquor Commission has bent the knee to the Iron Pig. In a letter to Murphy, they wrote, "Dear licensee, the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division of the Attorney General recommend that no further action be taken on the alleged violation reported cited above. Therefore, the file in this matter is being closed accordingly." The owner of the Iron Pig, Ian Murphy, joins us to discuss the latest developments and the future action on this matter.
So, Ian, first off, thanks for joining the show today. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been busy. Season has been great.
That's great. That's great. So, you know, you've been on the show once before talking about what happened as of, you know, it's been 2 years now at this point. But for those listening, I do want to talk about what's happening currently. But for those listening who may not be familiar with the entire story, can you just give a pretty quick background of the case, like bullet pointed version of what happened to you guys 2 years ago up till about 2 weeks ago when the health department kind of backed off?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Just about a year ago, November 2020, we decided to stay open against the emergency orders from the health department. We were cited the very next day with a cease and desist. A few days later, actually about a week later, we were then cited a violation from the Liquor Commission attempting to emergency suspend our liquor license. Eventually, we went through that process. The Liquor Commission suspended our liquor license for 90 days with a $600 fine. And then came the Department of Agriculture. They came in and suspended our food license, found me personally in contempt of court out of Lansing, and then suspended our food license, so basically shutting our restaurant down for about 2 weeks, roughly, in February of 2021. During that time, we didn't know that they had also done an additional liquor commission sting January 6th of 2021. I then, about 90 days after that, found out, the liquor commission sent me a letter that you've now been found in violation again. You're not serving alcohol, but you were just simply open against the emergency orders.
Okay.
Fast forward, we went through some administrative court stuff. We appealed. We got an unconstitutional ruling from the circuit court right here in Otsego County. The health department then decided to appeal that. They just recently gave up that appeal, which is a big win for us. And then even more recently, the Liquor Commission has notified us via the Attorney General's office that they are also giving up that January 6, 2021 violation. So we have been basically cleared of everything, and there is no longer government agencies holding anything over us.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, I mean, they just kind of came at you from every angle, it sounds like. And in many cases, they kind of didn't keep you in the loop, though, at the same time, which is even worse. But so you brought us up to speed to kind of where we are right now and mentioned that. So, like, the health department 2 weeks ago dropped their appeal, and then the liquor license has backed off as of 2 days ago. You guys on your social media on Facebook posted the letter that you received. Do you think that they saw the errors of their ways, or do you think the narrative has shifted around the pandemic and they can no longer hide behind, you know, their authoritarian control? So they knew they were going to lose in court and in the court of public opinion and backed off. What do you think happened there?
Well, that's a great question, and I'll try and answer it as quick as I can. In my opinion, so there is another court case that was filed in the Court of Claims where they got a constitutional ruling, which is completely contradictory to our ruling. In their release of their appeal last month, they cited this other case, and they believe that this constitutional ruling will be upheld by the Court of Appeals, so they no longer felt the need to challenge our constitutional ruling. So they probably will still be able to hold on to this health law unless the Court of Appeals does something crazy and decides to overturn the lower court's ruling. So I don't believe that they've seen any error in their ways whatsoever. I think that they have found the path of least resistance for them to hold on to this health law 333.2253.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, so most people during the pandemic at any point would have, you know, bent the knee to the government, some happily, as we've seen, and others, you know, more begrudgingly. But a lot of people would have been scared to put up a fight, and that can be understandable because obviously it's a scary situation, but you chose to remain open and fight the government's overreach, and kudos to you guys on that. But now these same government bodies have backed off, and I would even argue, though, that many of those that would have fought the government originally, like you have, would be exhausted. You have to be exhausted with all of this. And many people would see this as a win and be done. But you and the Iron Pig are not done. You have announced you're going to be forming a class action lawsuit and are looking for other businesses to sue and seek damages. Why are you doing that?
Well, so again, this comes back to holding people accountable. Our main goal is to try and get this health law removed and severed, as Judge Hunter put it in our case. They seem to be going around that. What we're also trying to do with this lawsuit is we all know that the one thing that government does hold account of is money, if you will, right? Money damages is where they pay attention.
Right.
And there are a lot of restaurants. We've got over 60 restaurants that have signed on to this already. Whether or not they end up becoming part of this class, once we go through the information, we'll be able to get the best class possible to present the judge and hopefully get a class certified, whether it's 30 or 300 restaurants, bars, and or gyms. Any business that has been affected, we want to try and include in this and then narrow that down from there. The other thing that we may do is the Iron Pig may file a lawsuit on its own and then take and create this other class with other restaurants as a separate lawsuit. Either way, we're not done. We're going to take this to the max. We want to make sure that future administrations understand that the health law that's still, by the way, being used to this day since March of 2020, here we are almost 3 years later, they're still using this health law for vaccine mandates in nursing homes. So we want to make sure that future administrations see what has been done and what's going on and make sure that this health law isn't used in the same way that it's being used.
Okay, so that makes sense. This might sound like you might have answered it in that question, but I do want to kind of press the matter a little bit more. So, you know, I'm sure, like I mentioned before, you're a bit worn out of the process, but I think I speak for all the freedom-loving people here in Northern Michigan, you know, as we thank you that you're going after the government in this specific instance, because I've said this before on the show before, you know, we just can't take small victories anymore. The government is so used to having all the power and is bullying people around. They very rarely face consequences for their actions, but you need to sue the pants off of them. We need to go on the offensive and use the court system to hold them accountable. The courts are literally there to hold the executive and legislative bodies in check. So we need to use them as such, and you're doing that, and it's very admirable. So you kind of alluded to it already. So you're not just seeking, you know, the damages. It's obviously not just the financial side. You're trying to prove a point to the government and to make sure that something like this can never happen again. That's right.
Yes, and let me say this about the financial aspect of it. I don't care about the money. For us, it was about keeping our restaurant open, not going bankrupt, keeping money in our employees' pockets. We're still doing that. Our supporters are helping us do that. That is the financial gain that we were seeking. The money damages aspect of it is exactly what you said, right? So there's the three branches of government. The executive is the one that is writing the laws and enforcing these things. The legislative branch has let us down woefully and still are letting us down. So our last remedy is to use the judicial branch to ferret all of these things out and say, whoa, hold on a second. The legislature did give the executive branch way too much wiggle room with this health law from 1976 or whatever it is. So we want the judicial branch to step in and clarify these things, whether it's an unconstitutional ruling or whether it's through a declaratory action, which is already in the Court of Claims and in the Court of Appeals. Now we seek to go for monetary damages to get their attention and everybody else's attention, which we've already seen. You know, I was on Glenn Beck's show this morning, like you mentioned.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the other aspect of it, is bring a spotlight to what these people are doing. And this is one way of doing it.
100%. You know, you alluded to the legislature letting you down, and I totally agree. Is there a sense of urgency now that with the results of these midterms, with, you know, first time in 40 years, Democrats taking control? Because I was obviously a Democrat executive branch that did a lot of this to you guys. So is there a bit of a sense of urgency? Because I would imagine that if the Republican legislature kind of let them do what they wanted to do, it's probably going to at least not get it's not going to get any better, likely.
I would agree with that sentiment. It's probably not going to get any better. With regards to a sense of urgency, really, the deadlines that we're under are, so we're still sending our brief to the Supreme Court. So we were getting ready to brief the Court of Appeals in lieu of the health department moving forward with their appeal. We still have the opportunity, and we'll take the opportunity to send that brief to the Supreme Court, who has already chimed in and said that they want to hear this case. They wanted to give Court of Appeals a chance first. They've now withdrawn that. So moving forward, what we're hoping to see is either the Michigan Supreme Court take this case, and or we get in through the Court of Claims and shine a big old spotlight on how much damage has been done to not just the Iron Pig, but the thousands of restaurants and gyms and salons and all these other restaurant businesses that were affected by that wide-ranging health law. So that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, that makes sense. Perfect. So, you know, we're almost out of time, but you have been largely, as I alluded to, you know, throughout this entire conversation, you guys, the Iron Pig, you specifically, Ian, have been kind of the face of fighting back against this administration here in Northern Michigan. And you've been doing, you know, a great service for freedom-loving people here in Northern Michigan. What is something that the audience can do to help you guys out?
Well, first of all, the best thing you can do is go to fight4michigan.com, fightformichigan.com. So anybody that either wants to join the lawsuit or support our lawsuit, you know, these things are not cheap to do. You know, attorneys are not cheap. We've got lots of volunteers feathering through this information. But anybody that either wants to join and or support should go to fightformichigan.com. There's lots of information. This isn't just about the Iron Pig. This is about anybody, like you said, that is freedom-loving and wants to stop the slow creep of tyranny. A lot of people don't want to hear that word, but let's be honest, that's exactly what this is. When the executive branch is taking authority from other branches, that's exactly what tyranny is.
Absolutely. Well, if you need any further help getting the word out on things regarding this case in the future, don't hesitate. Let us know. And again, thank you for what you're doing. Ian Murphy, owner of the Iron Pig in Gaylord. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you again, Nick. I appreciate you.
Of course.
Isn't that refreshing to hear people standing up to the government, the big bullies? I think it is. So they're doing great work down at the Iron Pig. Obviously, he didn't mention it when... you know, I asked him how can we be of assistance to you, but it probably doesn't hurt to go on down to the Iron Pig and check out what they have to offer, both on the liquor and the food side of things. So if you're in the downtown Gaylord area, I would also encourage you to do that. Thanks again to Ian for joining us on tonight's program.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law podcast. It's not that I forgot it. I just kind of had to think of when the last time it was that we did an episode. It's been a minute, so I can't really say this week. So that's what I was kind of getting tripped up on.
Oh, we kept trying to, but it's been a busy week.
The next episode.
Hold up. Wait.
So we've had a little bit of things happening with our case. Did the last time we talked about this... We did the whiteboard. Yeah. So we haven't even really talked about the fact that they dropped their appeal.
Yeah, we did. Cause we were talking about they're trying to do the end around and the fake.
Yeah. But we didn't tell, people don't know that they've actually officially dropped in according to what we have discussed. So the state has officially dropped their appeal at the Court of Appeals level.
Yep. Because
right.
They got all the eggs in the basket.
We're catching up. That's where they're at. They've dropped it, so we have no more health department appeal. They are still hanging on to the TNV case, which has the constitutional ruling. And then just last week, we got a letter, this little letter right here, which is what was being discussed in the couple of interviews in front of the podcast here that we just listened to. One was with Justin Barclay, who was filling in for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck program on the Blaze.
Mad props.
Yeah, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to Ryan Kelly for putting that together. That was he just texted me randomly the other day and was like, hey, I'm going to connect you with Justin. He's going to be doing this, that, and the other. And then the other was a nice guy named Nick Rudy from a local radio station here in northern Michigan that's
MKT.
Been following the case. Yeah, we got a nice little podcast going there.
And also Ireland from Up North Live.
Yeah, yep. She's right here in town, and they've been great. Anytime we have anything, we try and push it right to them. They've been good about getting the word out and seem to be relatively unbiased,
mm-hmm. Which is rare
in their reporting,
which is rare in the Michigan media in general.
So, the letter that we got basically is saying, and I had never heard this before, this agency, this division. So I get a letter and it's a teeny tiny of all the things that I've received in the mail. The one that carries the most metaphorical weight is literally the one in lightest in actual weight, right? This teeny, yes. This came in one little envelope. I mean, I've had probably thousands of dollars have been spent on mailings to me in the last 2+ years from all this stuff.
And yes, it will be framed on the wall.
This one will be as well. So this comes from the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. So Lara, as we commonly call her.
Well, and that agency has if you look into it, there's such a broad scope that they cover. They cover pretty much every industry in the state of Michigan they have their hands in.
Yeah, they really do. On a broad scale, when we're talking about the executive branch, you know, in previous podcasts, even when back to like our second episode where we had our attorney, Dave Delaney, on and he broke down the three branches and you can see all of these agencies. Well, anyways, this is from Laura is the headline, is the top of the page. And it is referencing the January 6, 2021 sting operation I always joke, you got to make these things as ridiculous as possible. The undercover sting operation that happened. They actually did come in sometimes with some hidden cameras.
They're recording my
family. The health department did. The Liquor License Commission. They come in and they're like, you know, they pretend like they're a big deal and they've got their jackets on. It says Enforcement Division and all this shit on it. And Brad's a relatively nice guy. We give him plenty of shit, but he's got a job to do and he fancies himself. So this letter says, Laura on top. Addressed to me regarding a violation from January 6, 2021. And it says, Dear licensee, the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division. Now, it's funny. The acronym for that is aged.
Well, and I can't get past, because you can't make this shit up. So at the top, as you said, Department of License and Regulatory Affairs, with Gretchen Whitmer, governor, and Orlene Hawks, director. But immediately in the first lines, referencing the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division of the Attorney General, which is Nestle, and then signed by David Marvin, Executive Service Division of the Liquor Control Commission. So who the hell is actually, is it Lara? Is it the MLCC? Is it Nestle's hit squad?
There is so much disguised in this letter. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, we always have these conversations about how bloated government is, but there's like five people's names on this thing here. I mean, we haven't even talked about Orlene Hawks, the director. No. I mean, that's, you know, even Whitmer's name is up on here. But anyways, so essentially what this letter is saying is that violation from January 6th, where they came in and secretly did a sting undercover operation, which sounds dramatic. And really all it was somebody from enforcement or somebody they hire basically to come in
and see that alcohol is being served.
And at that time, we were not serving alcohol. We were not serving alcohol. We were open against the health department emergency orders, right? Mm-hmm. Which we were on our way to going to court with the Department of Agriculture, which oversees the health department portion of our licensing, blah, 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 blah.
Which is where the power from 2253 came into play, allowing the Department of Ag.
So we have, you know, here's at the end of this entire thing, here comes one more aged the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division of the Attorney General recommended that no further action be taken on the alleged violation in the violation report cited above. Therefore, the file in this matter is being closed accordingly. If you have any further questions, contact the Clown Show. Sincerely, David Marvin, Executive Services. I don't know David. I'm sure he's probably a very nice guy. But the good news is it's in the wind. So this was, regardless of what had happened with our case, they had been holding this violation from January 6th.
Yeah, the liquor portion was off to the side.
Yep.
And they kept stalling.
So they got the first one. So there was two. The first one we took and I paid a $600 fine, a whopping $600 fine. Yep. But we paid had the largest suspension, 90-day suspension of anybody that was found in violation using the health law. So obviously we were maybe the third or the fourth, it might be even more than that, to go through this process and have their liquor license. Obviously the majority of everybody capitulated
and just gave in.
And that's not a knock on any of them whatsoever. Never has been. You know, I've got friends that own restaurants and bars that did the same thing. And I've always said that it's your own calculus. Everybody's business plan is different. Some people own real estate, have other assets on the line.
Everybody had to make their own choice.
Everybody had to make their own choice, which is exactly the point, right? So at the end of the day, this other thing, I always say that the hammer is what they used over us licensees, was taking our liquor licenses so we can't sell alcohol, beer, because they are coveted. They're very rare. They're not cheap to get. And you have to go through a lot of things to get them. And probably rightfully so. You don't necessarily want anybody just to have, be a felon and have a liquor license.
And in the pig's case, when that didn't work, then they pulled out the Department of Ag and pulled the food license.
Right. Right. So I called their bluff on the first one. Then they came in essentially a month later, did this other violation. We weren't serving alcohol. We were just serving food against the health orders. Fast forward, I get the the violation report. We go to a hearing over the summer, and essentially what happens is they kick the can down the road. We've talked about it in previous podcasts. There was a hearing with Judge Avocado, as we jokingly called him. Again, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but you know, it makes it easy to pick on. He played dumb at first. And then when pressed, he did kind of know a little bit about the case, and he says, well, you know, that's on appeal.
I'm unaware of the details.
So here we are now, essentially just over 2 years after this court battle began. And while up front, it seemed like we were losing. And in fact, we actually did. We lost at the Liquor Commission, lost in quotations, which the point of that is you can't run a restaurant from jail. You can't have a liquor license if you're a felon. And that's essentially what happens if you get busted by the police serving alcohol without a liquor license. So we took the fine. We took the suspension for the liquor license. We took the fine, $1,500 for the Department of Agriculture. And however, you know, almost 2 weeks that we closed the restaurant, I think it was February.
Well, and they had the judge that ultimately came back and said, okay, told the state of Michigan basically that they have to play nice.
Right.
And come to an agreement.
We had to go through this whole ridiculous process of a back and forth where we had to assure the Department of Agriculture and the health department that we were going to basically operate as normal. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. And how these people aren't rolling their eyes about the whole thing while it's happening, because it's just so ridiculous.
Well, especially now that they're still fighting this when the pandemic, if we're going to use that term, is clearly over. The president said it's over. It's been widely known. I mean, there's no restrictions for the average public anymore. No requirements. So in essence,
as we sit here today, yes.
Today, as we sit
just,
here today.
Just going to put that out there. As we sit here today, there are travel restrictions from on China right now.
Yeah, imagine that.
But I'm just saying, right, yes, I agree with you, but wink, wink.
Well, which is the whole point of the lawsuit, is to make sure
this can't
happen again.
Yeah.
And why it's so important. And as you mentioned in the interview on the radio yesterday, it's not about the money. You can give two shits about the money.
Right.
We haven't got to that point yet. But, I mean, it's to make sure this shit doesn't happen again. And to remind everybody out there that Whitmer is still using 2253, even though it's currently ruled unconstitutional, she's using it to enforce vaccine mandates in nursing homes.
Yeah.
So anybody that has, you know, a loved one in a nursing home is still dealing with 2253.
March 16th, it will be 3 years that they have been using this health law. In combination, in March of 2020, they dropped the emergency. The executive orders. Under the emergency powers of the Governor Act. And they issued directives under the health orders 2253, which is now also unconstitutional as the EPGA. And at the same time, they also used the EMA, the Emergency Management Act, which is what they should be using if there is a pandemic, when there is a pandemic, if there is a pandemic still going on. The Emergency Management Act gives that opportunity, as do some of these other ones. When you drill down and you look at some of the other laws that were used, 2251, 225, I don't even know. There's a bunch of them that they cite, 2252, I don't even remember. But they give local jurisdiction, right? Local health officer, local health director, you know, used to be Lisa Peacock here locally.
Yeah, we all know how well that
worked out. Which is a whole other drama that we've talked about. Go back and watch one of our other episodes about that.
Well, in the Powers Act, the big difference with the powers, though, is that it was restricted to 30 days.
Right.
After 30 days, the government had to play fair.
Right.
Which they don't want to use that, which is why they stuck with the 2253 to allow them to just do whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
And damn anybody's permission or consent.
So at the end of the day, after all of this bullshit, we're 2 years out. We've paid $2,200 in fines, 90-day suspension of our liquor license, whatever lost revenue that would account for, but it's impossible to account for that because, again, we're virtually the only restaurant open.
Yeah.
And the amount of soda that we sold was unreal.
You know, and that's the thing. People didn't give two shits.
They didn't.
They came in. Oh, sorry. We're not serving alcohol. They didn't give two shits.
Never forced anybody to come in here. It was their own free will whether to come in and have barbecue, whether they felt safe, whether they wanted to wear a mask, whether they felt like they needed to put information down on a sheet to sign in to come have. You know, we never questioned any of that. We offered all of those opportunities. The only difference is I didn't force any of my staff to require them to tell Chris, put your fucking mask on.
Exactly.
Or get out. Or I never allowed the opportunity for our crew to ever be belittled by anybody
for a minute.
Other than going online to the BS that everybody, you know, spews online about us.
Well, and
that's fear driven. That's all that fear. But anyways,
go. I was going to say, you talked about the fact that, you know, every business owner had to make their own choice and their own decision in regards to staying open or not. But it was funny, as we look back at it now, the amount of shit you got from other business owners.
And friends. Yeah.
Because they didn't make the same choice.
Unfortunately, that are no longer in our lives. And it's, and I'm not saying poor me. I'm saying poor everybody that chose to make their own personal choices for them.
And then get shitty with you afterwards.
And then have such a psychological peer pressure campaign perpetuated on them. Because that's really what it is, right? It really Didn't is. We grow up, you know, peer pressure is bad. But that's exactly what all of that vitriol came from, is they created this environment that allowed somebody to say, how dare you not do your part? I'm doing mine. Therefore, I'm a better person than you. You're not doing your part. I have all the information. Why don't you?
But yet, now that the information's out, doing your part didn't do shit, nor would it ever do shit in the case of COVID and what we just went through.
So I don't apologize for any of that. And
you didn't make people come in.
It's worth noting, too, and I was thinking about this, and you know, we get so far away from the COVID stuff, and I always forget that we have a, pardon the pun, a clean bill of health.
Yeah.
Right.
One traceable case.
On multiple fronts, right? You know, when people want to say, oh, well, if they don't follow these health rules, well, what other health rules don't they follow? Yeah. People don't understand how free enterprise works. You don't stay in business by getting your customers sick, period. But I don't even remember where I was really going with that, but at the end of the day, what this has cost us is those fines, the attorney's fees, the court fees, you know, the frustration. I mean, it certainly hasn't been easy. But the point that I want to make, and that I was trying to make in a couple of the interviews that were on media day yesterday, as we joked about,
that was a frenzy,
was that if these things do happen again, don't be afraid to stand up. If you questioned things last time and did the right thing and shut your business down and barely got by or had to file bankruptcy and closed your business, there is hope. There are people that will support you. Don't be afraid of the people that are nasty. Stand up for what you believe in. Question authority. Do it respectfully. Use the avenues that are afforded to you. Whether our due process was fucked from the beginning, and we brought that up, and it ultimately really still hasn't, the way that they went about notifying still has never been addressed.
No, because if you remember, and this is going way back to one of our first episodes, but they were required to present and serve everyone affected the order.
Yeah.
As they actually did at one of the colleges, at one of the universities in the state, where they actually went door to door and put it on the door of every frat house or sorority.
Yeah. The local health department in Ingham County went through where they knew that they had outbreaks and said, this is the place. Instead of just closing all fraternities and sororities, says, nope, you kids got to go stay in a hotel, or you got to go home, or you got to go whatever. They just said, warning to you coming into, you know, wherever there might be a hot spot in a restaurant.
Not you, not you. Just
this
you.
Is for you to make your own decision. And of course, you know, the and it wasn't just frats, it was frats and sororities, to be fair. They allowed people to make their own decision and risk assessment.
Versus the state going statewide with it and saying, well, it was available on Facebook. The order's available.
Right.
You knew. We said it on TV. We said it on the radio.
It would be, it's the equivalent to right saying that there's a hand, foot, and mouth breakout in Otsego County. Therefore, we're closing every daycare in the entire state.
And it's your responsibility to know it.
And your responsibility to know it. Or honestly, it's your responsibility to look at it on the news, because that was the only way. They never once, they sent maybe, I think, an email.
Well, and if you remember, they,
and then eventually you got things in the mail.
Well, and they also wanted the process manual, if you will, for handling COVID for every business, for every restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's like a 27 pages or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
The employee sign-in logs, you were supposed to take the temperature of every employee and have them sign.
I forgot about some of these things too.
I mean, doing that shit across the street. It's like you had to record the temperature of every employee, have them sign, put a date, put a time. All for nothing.
Justin's comment on Beck's show, where he makes a comment about it as well. You could dine inside as long as the inside is outside. And you go back and you look at these things, and if, you know, you always have to preface it with, you know, hindsight is 2020. Yeah, great. When the directives came out that said, don't cough in your hands, don't sneeze in your hands, don't pick your nose, don't pick your eyes, don't do these things. And I'm thinking, wait, these are the things that are going to stop a deadly pandemic from spreading in a restaurant. Hold on.
Especially considering, jokingly, we were always taught, you know, don't sneeze in your hands, sneeze in your elbow. So now all of a sudden we're sneezing our elbow, but we're supposed to bump elbows because we can't shake hands.
I looked at those things and I will go to my deathbed remembering and saying out loud, why aren't people doing these things already? Like, wait, we have to issue health orders to tell you to not pick your nose.
Wash your
and
hands.
Not like, yeah, really? I mean, it's just kind of, you can dine inside as long as the outside is inside. So let's put people in a gigantic hermetic seal. Is that the right word? Hermetic?
Yeah, it works.
Is that right?
It works for our purposes. It works.
My vocabulary is good. we all knew it was stupid. Well, let's put giant heaters inside these things so it's warm, and then we're gonna
stick in a fishing shanty with a heater.
You can only have 12 people over for Thanksgiving, and it has to be people in your pod. What the hell? Like,
how about
we are living in the dumbest time?
You have to wear a mask unless you're eating or drinking.
That was the dumbest time.
Because the air changes when you're eating or drinking, and you can't get COVID when you're eating or drinking.
I can't.
So you can pull it down. I mean, but now we look back and it's like, holy shit, we had lost our fucking mind as society. And I still think that's the case now. Because if you look at the current midterm results, we've still lost our fucking mind as a country.
Right. That's why I was saying that was the worst time. And it kind of is just like, we're just kind of sledding downhill. And it's kind of like, which is an interesting metaphor because we just had 3 feet of snow, and then 4 days later, it's virtually gone.
Yeah,
so like it kind of does feel like we're sledding down a hill with no sled on a bare dirt hill.
Well, December 31st, and I can ride my motorcycle on New Year's Eve. Yeah, the whole fucking world's backwards.
Yeah. That's the global warmings.
Yeah. But the important thing is, like, from every radio host, from the Beck Show to the radio station, is the fact that everybody's starting to realize and wake up and starting to fight the fight. I mean, the sport.
This is why I was talking about with some friends and a couple of mentors about taking and doing our show a little bit more frequently, because there are a few more things that I feel like we could have a conversation about that our dozens of subscribers would get along with. If you're watching this, hit the subscribe, smash that button on any platform, Spotify, YouTube, Apple.
Make sure you hit Justin Barkley and Glenn Beck.
Go to our face. Yeah, definitely. Those guys, thank you for the support. The other thing is, so we're getting a little off track here. I was gonna make a comment about there were 1,200 scientists that just came out and said that global warming / climate change is a complete bullshit. But
yeah,
that's for another day. So we'll tuck that one away with some of the stuff that's coming about. But we'll have plenty of interesting things to discuss as some of these other things start to come into play too. But at the end of the day, here we are, 2 years later plus. And we've gone through the ringer multiple times, and it was a string of losses, as we say, because David and I are attorney. We joke all the time, like you know, that's a loss. But there is such a thing as failing your way to the top. And essentially that's where we're at. Now, I can't say that we're at the top, because the top would be the Supreme Court,
the decision from the Supreme Court,
making sure that in whichever way they rule, but clearly based on their sentiments from 2 years ago on a previous case, which is exactly the same as ours, they should chime in on this and make it known once and for all. This is constitutional. This isn't unconstitutional. Future administrations are going to need to know whether they can use this tool the right way.
Well, and the precedent that is going to be set when they do make a ruling is not just on the state level. It's not going to just affect the residents here, but it's going to go national, because there are similar lawsuits throughout the country,
right,
that challenge the same thing under the administration of the president right now, that's doing the same thing, where you have, you know, the executive branch creating laws without involving the legislature, which is clearly out of their realm, their wheelhouse of options, but they keep doing it and nobody's challenging them. So this carries a lot of weight, which is why there's been so much support from, you know, subscribers and listeners from all over the country after the Glenn Beck show. I mean, literally after the Glenn Beck interview, went upstairs, and immediately you had a message from somebody downstate, and then there was a request from somebody in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, a restaurant owner in Maine.
Yep.
This morning, I found out calls from Ohio.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's really, there's a lot of people that may have been silent up until now, but as they're catching wind of everybody else starting to stand up and fight back, the fight gets larger and the spectrum gets bigger.
The question has been asked, why do you think that they have given up? I don't think I've told you this, but I received a copy of the exact same letter from a bar in Hillman that had basically the exact same thing. Now, I haven't seen the violation report that this is, but I would have to imagine it's virtually the same thing. But the letter is identical. The only thing that is different is the CV, the complaint violation number, was swapped out. And of course, the name and address is different. So there's something going on in Dana's office or the executive branch's office where they're basically just saying, we're done with this. And the question has been asked, why do you think it is that they're capitulating if that's what they're doing? Why now? And my answer to that is pure speculation. Of course, I have to believe that they're giving up these other things because they know that the health law is going to be upheld.
Which is odd again, because if you haven't watched the last episode, they're hinging all their bets 100% on a 50-50 decision in the TMV case, which is under appeal now, which that's the one where it ruled that 2253 is constitutional, which was obviously appealed by TNV, which is the ruling.
Because it had the word epidemic in it, that was the guardrails. As long as the health director says there is an epidemic, not pant, whatever you call the difference, as long as they rule an epidemic, they can use the health law to do exactly what they've been doing for the last 2 years.
Which is still currently under appeal, and there has not been a ruling. Now, even once that ruling gets made, it's going to get elevated again. So that case as well is going to end up in front of the Supreme Court.
Right.
So we go back to the question of why would the state of Michigan hedge their bets all or nothing on a 50-50 probability? And I made reference before, would you bet your house, your savings, everything you own on a 50-50 bet? Hell no.
Right.
Who takes a bet on those odds?
Maybe, you know, I was asked in Nick's interview, you know, have they seen the error of their ways?
Oh, God.
Let's pretend that we live in utopia land, as we joke about, right? The attorney general's, the liquor commission, the attorney general's office, and the health director and Whitmer's office. Let's say they have seen the error of the ways. Let's say that they understand what the Supreme Court justices have looked at and have said about our case as it relates to certified questions from 2020. what could potentially happen with T and V through the Court of Appeals is, again, we don't really care about what actually happens at the Court of Appeals.
No.
Because either party is going to
regardless of decision,
appeal that. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. So here's what could potentially happen. They could take these two cases and bind them together. The Supreme Court could.
Yeah.
They could take the Iron Pig from administrative court and APA and this basically this declaratory action lawsuit, right? Because there was no money that they were asking for. It was a declaratory judgment. They wanted just some clarification.
Which brings up another funny point that during that case, the state of Michigan, Darren Fowler, argued that there should be no relevance. That case shouldn't exist and immediately be dismissed because there was no standing because the company had already shut down. But then immediately turns around in the same office, immediately turns around and uses that case, which they voted or asked to have thrown out, and use that as a reference to why they're dropping the argument with the pig.
Yep.
That's a little fucked
up.
So
let's say that they have seen the error in their ways and they are. And they have looked through the glass, whatever that thing is, right? The crystal ball. And they think that even with a liberal majority in the state Supreme Court, that if they bind these two cases together and based on 2020 precedent from certified questions, the health law is going to be ruled unconstitutional. Let's just say they have looked at it. They have looked at our arguments. They have looked at certified questions, all of these things. They looked at what's happening at the federal level. Maybe they have decided that this juice is not worth the squeeze, right? And we're just going to say, let's see what happens. There's no sense in pouring more resources into these things. Let's see what happens on this track over here. We've got this thing. Worst case, it's going to happen. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. And the argument at the Supreme Court level is definitely in the Iron Pig's favor because of a previous court ruling from less than 3 years ago. Maybe in utopia land, that is what they're actually thinking.
Only if ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
It is a possibility. Again, there's a lot of speculation, but there is certainly a lot of speculation in the idea of them holding on to their appeal and the Court of Appeals holding up and then the Supreme Court basically reversing themselves simply less than 3 years later. So in my opinion, it's kind of like a, you know,
anything's possible. And, you know, and
here we are.
And that letter, you know, the giving up on the MLCC, I'm still trying to figure out just who the hell is actually dropping it. Was the MLCC? Is it the Lara? Is it the hit from Nestle? I mean,
this is where we go back to how executive branch agencies work, right? So the lawmaker, right, the number one chief of police is the number one lawmaker in the state is Dan. She has this alcohol and gambling enforcement division, which must look at all of these cases that are sitting in these various MIOSHA, Department of Agriculture, all of these pending cases in these various departments. And clearly, they have made some internal decision at this alcohol and gambling enforcement division, aged, and strategically said, these people that have these violations, which are reference 22253, we're going to go ahead and let them go.
And then telling another agency to do actually let it go.
I don't know. There is another lawsuit that I haven't had a chance to look into, but we have some, I'm not sure if David's representing them or not, or if he's assisting them more or less, but there is a case in Alpena that was just filed, and I don't believe it's to 2253. It's some other ones that are MIOSHA rules, 2241, maybe some of those. There's so many numbers.
That case was filed by someone that wasn't directly affected per se.
OSHA
architect, wasn't it?
I believe so. I'm speculating. I believe somebody probably called the toll-free NARC number and said that there were employees or there were customers in their office that weren't wearing masks. I mean, the same
bullshit.
They don't have a licensing agency other than OSHA could come in and say,
you have to do this.
So, so they are taking a non-delegation separation of powers argument and some APA stuff and some state taking clause things in their lawsuit,
which is a lot of the same, a lot of the same, but different,
a lot of the same, but as we talked about before, you know, it's all about the separation of powers and non-delegation, right? So we have simply argued that the legislative branch gave too much power to the executive branch with the health law. They are arguing the exact same thing, except replace health department with MyOSHA. So
still under the executive branch,
still under right the number one. So I'm curious to see if Dana Nessel's office has a has an office of workplace health and safety. Safety enforcement division, ACID, or I don't know, something like that. Or ass. Let's figure out another way to get an ass in there.
Oh God, I'm already thinking about new.
I don't know. Anyways,
acid aid. The Iron Pig governmental collection.
But so if we see something similar to this come down, then maybe that will signal that they are, you know, stepping, really actually stepping back and maybe do see the error of their ways. I don't believe that. For the first time in 40 years, these people, my friends are these people too. The Democrats have basically the supermajority, right?
Yeah.
For the first time in 40 years. So yeah.
And have been using that position. And I think we're going to see more dramatic shit that they're going unchecked.
Yeah.
Which is like we were talking before we started recording, you know, the difference between a democracy, which you hear thrown around so many times by so many people, which they think we are, the difference between that and a republic, which is what we actually are. I mean, it's pretty easy to see which way the left leans as far as a belief in democracy versus republic. But that's not up for debate. And that's the one thing they've forgotten, is that our country was not established where you can just say, yeah, no, I like the rules better this way. No, we are a republic.
Yeah, there's been a very interesting delusion of language. I don't even really know what to call it. And smarter people than me have talked about it. And, you know, comedians talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I've been going back and watching some George Carlin and some Eddie Murphy and just some of the older
comedian,
you know, the stuff from the 80s and the early 90s.
Back
especially
when comedy was funny and they could say whatever they wanted. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they can't say that shit now.
No.
Oh, my God.
There are a few that are. And they are right now, once again, paving the way for more free speech. And the fact that we even have to try and, you know, quote, fight, unquote, for that is redonkulous. But part of that is because they're taking and redefining these things, you know, and social democracy is one I've been on lately. And it's like there's no bigger turd.
Well,
then that word, well, social democracy is the way to go.
And socialism in itself is a key part of a true democracy, because it's simply the majority making the decision and making the law, which is saying screw the legislative branch.
Yeah.
And with no regard to how you feel or how you feel.
Right.
It's just their way or the highway.
Yep.
Versus, you know, what we are in actual having a republic where representatives make the laws. And they have to abide by the Constitution,
yeah,
which is something you can't change, which is something they argue as well. I mean, I remember hearing the president say that they believe that the Constitution should be a living, breathing document subject to interpretation and change. Kiss my ass. No.
I would amend that. And, well, I mean, but it sort of is. I mean, because
you can make amendments.
Slavery was.
Yeah.
Right. I mean.
But there's a process for that. It's not for the president.
Right.
To change.
Right. Make sure that that's the specification. That's exactly what we're talking about is, you know, when you start to see kangaroo courts.
Yeah.
You know, that is really my worry, is that as we have gone through this process, It literally, I gotta watch saying that. I gotta stop saying literally. It's a roll of the dice with which judge you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have to worry about which way a judge leans politically is horseshit.
That means we've lost the effectiveness of our judges.
It makes no sense whatsoever. But that is where it has come to, is that we're still putting judges in positions based on their political affiliation. And you can have the argument of whether that should be or that shouldn't be. And every state has different way. Some judges declare a political affiliation. Some ballots show political affiliation in some states, some don't. It shouldn't bleed over, and it's bleeding over really, really badly. And a lot of people are hard on the U.S. Supreme Court right now.
Well,
because they're going back and they're saying, listen, we're bringing back the separation of powers arguments, because a lot of these issues, including the Roe v. Wade overturning, is part of that. And back to your, you know, statement about, you know, living, breathing, if they want to change and actually get abortion into the Constitution or reproductive health, and we're talking about changing language,
yeah, then follow the process.
Right? It used to be called birth control. Now yeah. It says reproductive health, whatever.
You used to have to be a woman to be pregnant.
The point is they changed the language. The courts are getting influenced too much by a lot of these things. When we have to worry about, they were 4-3 this way, now they're 4-3 the other way, and whether or not this is going to happen, and that tells me that the scales, there really are no scales of justice.
Well, and consider this, talk about scary. I mean, you brought up Roe v. Wade. There was a handful of decisions that came out that week. Mm-hmm. There was the Myosha, yeah, which they another one ruled unconstitutional as far as EPA getting involved. There was one on a coach praying on a football field.
Yeah.
There was a handful of them. And none of them went the left's way. And what did they immediately start doing? Asking to stack the Supreme Court.
Right.
By stacking the Supreme Court, wanting to increase the number.
Term limits.
Increase the number of justices so they could manipulate the decision.
Yep.
Because they wanted to be able to use the president to nominate.
I have a hard time with people in power that think they know better than some of the smartest men, unfortunately, men that drafted that document. We would never be able to do that sort of thing right now, right?
Oh, hell,
there is no such thing as coalition government.
No.
But again, I'll digress. The entire point is we can't have the executive branch making the laws and enforcing the laws, and we've sort of put a stop to that right now. I guess I would just say we put a pause on that. We'll see what happens in the future as they try to use this, because they're still using it. We'll see what happens with this other thing right here. What we're trying to do next, and literally, damn, I said it again. The next day that we announced that we were collecting information for a class action lawsuit. So when they took away that, I have kind of made jokes that they've been lurking behind us. It's kind of a Biden pun, lurking behind us, but with a knife to our throats, to my throat, right?
Yep.
And the knife is that violation. You're like, oh, haha, you might have won over here, motherfucker.
But we're gonna hang on to this.
But we still got you. We still got you. We got this thing over here. We're just gonna keep kicking this thing down the road a little bit, and we still have you under our foot. Period. Now they don't.
Yeah, we own you.
So the next step is, how do we prevent this from happening again in lieu of the Constitution being amended and having that law severed, as Judge Hunter put it, right? So we look at going to the Court of Claims.
With a class action lawsuit.
So first we think about what are the other remedies. And the other remedy, right, we went through administrative court because we had action taken against us. We were fined. We were closed. We went through the administrative court process as afforded by us in the Administrative Procedures Act. TMV, the catering case, was a simple declaratory action lawsuit, right?
Yep.
Not a class.
Just an elephant.
Just them. All they wanted was clarification that this was or wasn't constitutional and a couple of other things. The only part we care about really is the constitutional question. So theirs is being held up in court of appeals, right? They've had a ruling in the court of claims. It was constitutional. Sorry, TNV. I really wish you guys had reached out to us before you did this. I'm going to say that on the record if I haven't already before.
Or follow the coach.
Not
the judge.
Not a well done argument. I'm sure their attorney is great. But you failed when you tried to argue the science. You failed when the judge asked you three or four different times to address the actual constitutionality issue at the hand. You had Judge Hunter's ruling in your hand. Dude, it was right
tried
there.
Coaching them too.
It was right there for you, man. Anyways.
Yeah.
So the other action we can take is to, while they're still there in it with this on appeal, going to the Court of Appeals, going to the Supreme Court, should we, shouldn't we file a lawsuit? Should or shouldn't it be a class, right? And the difference is we file an individual lawsuit versus we file an individual lawsuit as the lead plaintiff, and then we add named individuals to that, specifically anybody that has been to court, has had a liquor license revoked, fines paid, those types of things.
Lost
and then,
revenue, lost
and then
lost
we
business.
Expand to lost revenue, those types of things. Which, and we ultimately try and get the closest group of people that have had the same damages done. Right, we got to be able to prove that there was damages, and whether your business closed or you went bankrupt or your checking account overdrafted because you were shut down overnight and you still had to pay utility bills and insurance and unemployment and taxes and all these other things, but your business was closed down overnight.
Well, and that's something that you and I have talked about from the start, is there has to be some accountability for what the government has done.
Right.
There has to be accountability for all these restaurants that have been shut down. And even party stores, car dealerships. I mean, the list is endless of people that were affected.
Architects' office.
Architects. I mean, yeah.
Like
building supply stores, which you couldn't buy. I mean, you couldn't.
And we now know was ridiculous. We now know was counterintuitive. And actually, in my opinion, and a lot of the studies that I have read and the information that I'm getting actually made things worse.
All brought to you by a guy that thought AIDS was spread through Fruit Loops.
Have you seen his phone? He's got, anyways, that's a conversation for another day. Apple has a new red phone. Yeah. So so it did have wide-ranging effect, right? So that's what we're gonna try and do, is we're collecting information now to do. Oh, you got one too. Love this. It's an AIDS phone. That's what we're trying to do, is collect as much information as we can from the people and businesses that were affected by this. So we're going to get as many as we can. We've got 50 some restaurants signed on already.
Couple gyms.
And what we're going to do is get more information and dig a little bit deeper and figure out exactly how we qualify this class. Then what happens is we present this class to the judge in the Court of Appeals, and we ask for a certification of the class. And there are a bunch of qualifying things, but overall, really what it says is,
it's legit.
Do they all have relatively the same issues, the same, you know, many, many things? Because class actions, generally, the majority of class action lawsuits are revolved around product issues, product liability.
Or services. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A microwave. And this
yeah, not often against government.
This version of the microwave in my mobile home caused a fire and burnt 3,000 mobile homes down or whatever.
Yeah.
This is a little bit different, but either way, that's what we're trying to do, is we're going to funnel it down to as many well-qualified candidates as we can to show actual damages. And then we put a number on that, whatever it is. If we get 100 restaurants and we ask for $4 million, or 100 restaurants and we ask for $400 million, the monetary number to me, doesn't matter. To these people, and that's callous to say for some of these people that have had
they'd actually lost
their lives ruined and their dreams pissed on, right? So when I say that it's not important to me, what I mean is, to me, what's important is making sure that, like I said in previous interviews, we shine a spotlight on what's going on. And that has happened nearly overnight just by merely announcing the forming of a class action.
Well, and there's still
yet to file any of these things. I mean, we've got people that are asking if this is a federal lawsuit, which would be relatively difficult to do. But let's take it one step at a time.
Well, it's especially, you know, it's gaining traction very quickly. But it's amazing because there are a huge amount of people, obviously based on Whitmer getting in office again, that aren't paying attention to their own lives and everything that's affected.
Yeah.
It's like they forgot overnight all the hell that we went through.
Yeah.
For stupidity's sake, for no reason. Those assholes that said follow the science, but chose to follow the science when the science proved that they were fucking high.
Right.
But you still put faith in them?
I've said this.
How are your roads?
30 plus days after we stayed open, I said this, and I stick to it to this day. The Iron Pig is the single greatest case study for the quote spread of COVID-19 in restaurants. The whole idea that it is a vector was the term that they used, a vector for the spread of COVID, is patently false. And people want to argue with me when they say that. They say, well, your customers aren't the type of customers that are going to report their illness or them being at your restaurant, period. Then how does that explain that we had no employees out with COVID during that entire thing?
No contact tracing, nothing.
Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't compute. And to make my point even more succinct, they never did a study. They never did a study. All they did was base it on the idea that this thing is so airborne, right? That it's going to get droplets, can survive, you know, that kind of, it's like, okay, say what you will about masks, all of the other stuff, the distancing, all of the stuff, when you add it all together. Well, it's not just one measure, it's all the measures stacked together. Great. Why then was natural immunity never discussed? Why was vitamin D never discussed? Why was exercise never discussed? Why was being outside never? There's a new study out now that says something crazy, and I'm going to get this wrong, but you're like four times more or less likely to get COVID if you exercise a minimum of some crazy thing, like just 15 minutes a week.
Well,
and then it went way up if you went 15 minutes a day.
I want to point something out too, as it's, you know, end of December, when I say December, we're going on what, close to 3 years of this shit.
New year, new me.
Have you heard it's a really bad flu season?
Mm-hmm.
First time in 3 years that we've had a flu season. But there's no COVID. I mean, it's back to the flu. It's just,
there's a fundamental distrust in all of this stuff now.
Yeah.
Right?
They've lost it.
Yeah, completely. I mean, if they ever had it to begin with, in my personal opinion, I've been through some things as being a type 1 diabetic. I have used some formerly FDA approved things that they then turned around and yanked because it was killing people. So I have a fundamental distrust with those people and other things, but that's just sort of the way I was raised, not I guess kind of is anti-establishment in a sort of loose term, but
it's more so do your own research.
Well, you say that now and people want to go, oh, anarchist, and it's like, hey, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No, it's called libertarian. It's called leave me alone. So anyways, back to the lawsuit, right? What we're trying to do is get as many people on board as possible. We're trying to qualify as many individuals as possible, restaurants or otherwise. There is a questionnaire that is online.
Let's see, Fight for Michigan.
Fight4Michigan.com. There's lots of information there. Anybody that wants to join the lawsuit can do so. There's a tab to click there to join. But anybody that wants to support the lawsuit can also do that as well. Like a gal in, out in Maine that owns a bar, they had some similar things go on with their governor out there, as well as some other really crazy stuff. But she messaged the other day, was, how can I support? And, you know, I'll buy a T-shirt. And I said, well, you know, go to fightformichigan.com. And there's lots of ways to support us. One of the big ones is buying a fuel pass. It gives you all kinds of incentives. But for those people that are out of the state of Michigan or out of the Midwest that may not necessarily be coming to Michigan to come visit us in person, they can participate and support this lawsuit, because there is going to be a lawsuit.
There is.
There is. And when I say that, the reason why I say that is what most likely is going to happen is the iron pig is probably, we're going to file a lawsuit, and then we're probably going to file a separate class action lawsuit.
Which is not just going after the state of Michigan. It's also going after the people individually accountable. We're
right.
Going after Whitmer, going after Gordon,
right.
Going after Nestle, going after Hertel. Peacock. I mean, all these people that actually, the people themselves that forced you to change your life and ruined so many, again, ultimately goes back to needing them to be held accountable.
Didn't give you your choice.
Didn't let you make a decision. You're free.
That's what it's always been about to me, right? You have the choice whether or not to come in and have barbecue. You don't need to like me. You don't need to like our barbecue. That's fine. That's totally fine. That's called free enterprise, right?
And freedom of choice.
Nobody's forcing you to come have our barbecue. I'm not tripping people and grabbing your grandma off the street and making, you know, and shoving our delicious brisket in your face.
And to this day, I still don't care if people wear masks when I see them coming out of the grocery store. I don't care if you're wearing them.
That's an aggressive marketing campaign, by the way.
I don't berate and insult them. I mean, I don't give a shit, but don't make me.
If you feel comfortable doing something, great. If you don't, fine. Here is the choice. Here's the information, however you decide to digest it, if you even do, because obviously there are a lot of people that only choose to digest a portion of the information. That's your choice, right? We live in the information age. It's your choice to be ignorant.
Yeah,
I'm not pointing and saying you're ignorant, but you know what I mean, right?
Do your own research, make your own decision.
Professor?
And stop trying to force, you know, your will. And that's what you and I have talked so many times about. It's like, what has triggered in these people that are they're just so batshit crazy to where they want to create a society that if you don't agree with them, you're a social outcast.
Well, when or now are you referring to the triggering?
They're still getting triggered. I mean, daily. But when did we switch from a society where you can have an intelligent conversation, no matter what your political alliance is, to the, if you disagree with me, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where we're at. You're evil. You're an anarchist.
This is where I say intolerance is the new tolerance.
Yeah.
Right. So they've taken that word tolerance and broadened it and widened it so much to mean that if I don't like something, I am entitled, it is well within my right to belittle you and to make sure that you conform to whatever it is that I was offended about, or at least I'm going to badger you into believing or conforming whatever bounds that I'm trying
pronouns
to put on that.
The epitome of that thing. Pronouns are the epitome.
Yeah. Well, to the nth degree, that's exactly what that is. I mean, when you go so far as to try and say that we're going to change the definition of a biological man or a woman, that's insane.
Yeah.
You cannot take something that is science and then apply a societal definition to it and change it. You don't get to take the H2O and change the fundamental elements of H2O and then call it sand. I mean, you don't.
Right. And that's not a religious argument. It's not a.
Does that sound stupid?
No.
All right.
I mean, it's just as ludicrous as trying to change the definition. It's just as absurd.
We've seen it going on for a long time. This is a great subject for another podcast,
yeah.
But that's really what it is. And it's this slow creep of tyranny is what I call it. And it's several devices that are being used and have been used effectively, really well effectively for at least the last 20 years in high schools and majority though post graduate or post high school education where they really, really start to indoctrinate.
And it always comes on the heels of an emergency or a crisis.
Yeah, usually. I mean,
it's the fear that's utilized.
The stuff going on with social media and their collusion with government silencing.
That's another episode.
That, cool. Yeah, exactly. That is all born out of 9/11 and the fear that came from 9/11 and the idea that we should monitor basically your thoughts. So we're going to, because that's what it's coming down to right now, right? We're slowly creeping our way to pre-crime. I mean, that's what they did to me.
Oh, God, Minority Report.
We put a meme out a year or so ago when this stuff was going on and they were trying to jail me for keeping a restaurant open. It's like, listen, there's been no COVID. I haven't gotten anybody sick. My employees aren't sick. I've never been sick. My wife has never been sick.
Nobody dragged customers
Nobody
in.
Has. I could understand. I could understand there's other restaurants that have had these things. I can understand that. Prove to me that there has ever been this deadly pandemic actually spreading in my restaurant and we can have an entirely different conversation. But they couldn't. And they wanted to preempt and say, nope, we're going to take you. We're putting a cruise control on your car because 55 is as much as Chris should be allowed to go.
And we're going
to
use the public's fear to justify it.
Right. And peer pressure everybody else into doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally every, damn it, I said it again. Everybody else.
That's got to be at least 20.
Everybody else. Oh, don't remind me.
That's your new fucking phrase.
What?
To be fair, literally.
Literally.
Yep.
Literally.
Literally end. Literally end.
Well, that's probably good.
So.
Probably about enough rambling for one.
So, anyways, the entire point is Iron Pig wins again. Now we're taking a big old spotlight of lawsuits. A class action is the big old moonbeam spotlight that we're going to put on these ding dongs, and it is already working. Mm-hmm. So let's bring a little bit more of this stuff to light. Exactly what they've been doing. Let's remind everybody about the masks and the 6 foot and the you can't buy blue paint and you can't motorboat. Motorboat.
Could spread COVID. I mean, so you technically shouldn't have been motorboating at that point in time.
Oh, man, all bets are off. It's worthy of reminding everybody of those things and what they're still doing, right? Gourmelt's down in wherever it was, another restaurant that the Liquor Commission was still going after those guys. And that, you know, that was with Youngkin. Governor Youngkin just came in. And am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Glenn Youngkin.
Yeah. And he here is a Republican governor, and they were basically still doubling down on their version of the Liquor Commission as ABC. And they were still trying to – 2 years later, they eventually gave it back a couple of days later, but it's insane. It's still going on. We've got to keep – we can't let anybody change the channel – because down the road, they're going to turn around and do it again for whatever it is, right? They're going to say climate change is such an emergency that we are now going to mandate your air conditioning cannot go above or below a certain temperature during the summertime.
And that's what happened in Virginia, how Youngkin got in. I think I'm sure it was Virginia. But the incumbent there, the governor incumbent, was a firm supporter in letting the government decide what your kids get taught.
Right. Right.
And Youngkin's big thing was, no, let's let the parents. The whole thing of calling parents domestic terrorists because they wanted to be involved and make decisions, which, again, weaponization of our government agencies. I mean,
apparently, I'm probably classified as a domestic terrorist somewhere just based on Facebook.
If, I mean, the director of the FBI, I mean, he's been open about his thoughts on that. But, you know, that's, again, another episode. But it's an example.
Well, I mean, I do text with Ryan Kelly, so I probably... Yeah. Probably I'm on the list. You're on the list.
Shook hands with him. I'm on the list.
This guy. This motherfucker right here. Yep. We definitely. He's. He's selling brisket when we shouldn't be. Yeah. Nope. We can't have that.
Don't say that. With this government, you could have a raid team of 27 FBI agents. Just
but that's the point, them. Right? We make these jokes about this, and we could have made jokes 4 or 5 years ago about, oh, you know, there'd never be a time that the health department is going to shut down a restaurant because of a sneeze.
Your house.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that I could keep my restaurant open as long as I put X's on the floor have a sign-in sheet, and I have to. We would be rolling on the floor. The grocery laughing. Store
walk this way arrows on the floor.
Literally.
No,
that's no. So. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibility for any of this crazy stuff to happen. You couldn't buy paint.
God, in this case, you can get it fucking raided.
You
could
get seeds to plant your own. Ticket. It's insane, mm-hmm. right? So we have to keep the conversation going about this. We need to have definitive from the top, not the Attorney General.
Nope, Supreme Court.
The
baby.
Supreme Court.
Not Drunken Dana.
Of Michigan needs to say, once and for all, as they did with the other thing, the emergency powers of the governor, the executive orders, let's get some clarification on this thing because we've got a yay and we've got a nay.
Yeah.
So come on, guys. Come on, Brian Zara. Get in there, buddy.
Fight the fight.
So
make a decision. Do what's right.
Our way to keep the spotlight on is this lawsuit, right? We cannot guarantee anything. We can't guarantee we can get anything certified. We can't guarantee anything. We couldn't guarantee shit after mm-hmm. we stayed open, but that didn't stop us.
Just keep swinging.
That's what we got to do.
The next swing.
We keep it going. So anybody that wants to join or support, I'll say it again, go to fight4michigan.com. Anybody that wants to subscribe to our channel, Murphy's Law, on YouTube, we're on Rumble Everywhere. Now.
Yeah, Rumble, Apple Podcasts.
We're still getting the rest of our former previous episodes onto Rumble. Anywhere that podcasts go out, I'm pretty sure we got like two dozen different spots we're on iHeartRadio. So subscribe, join, support. Whatever you can do, we're going to keep this thing going to make sure that justice is served in the way that it should be. And the choice ultimately is yours again, how you feel and how comfortable you are going to a restaurant, going to a
letting
salon,
you live your life,
getting seeds, buying paint, and motorboating.
Yeah.
I just wanted to end it with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. As usual, we always will go forever and rant. Keep an eye out. We're going to talk about doing a couple more of these just to talk about, you know, maybe some news topics. And we're definitely due to make fun of some people.
Yeah, more
but I'll tell you what's interesting about that. As we've been winning, Charlie Sheen, winning, the haters just, you know, kind of
fell away,
have just kind of crept away. So There are fewer of them, but usually what happens is we
throw the pot.
Well, you know, being on a nationally syndicated radio show. Give me a break. Usually that always happens. You know, when we see something on 7 and 4, you know, well, the outpour of support is far outweighs the once in a while negative person. But the person that is so negative or crazy as one recent.
I know where you're going.
Person.
I know where you're going with that.
There's always something like that. So it's always very entertaining, and
hopefully we'll still get one of these people to come join us.
Maybe sometime. I don't know. Usually you don't want to. Because we'll usually, you know, we'll expose their idiocracy. As we're sort of good at doing. So anyways, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for joining us, Chris, my brother. I appreciate always. You as always. Until next time, which hopefully is soon. Thank you very much for joining us.